Hey, welcome back to the Pod Crashed. This week, we're telling the story of American Airlines Flight 21. Thanks for listening.
Yes, so we're going to find out. Everybody who's listening to this right now can look at the timestamp and they know how long it's going to be. But right now, in the present, we don't know how long it's going to be. But
it's very weird. But, ourselves in like 3 hours, they are going to know.
Yes, it's true. It's true. We'll know, hopefully not in 3 hours, because hopefully, I don't think it's going to be 3 hours, guys. I know some of you would love a 3-hour episode, and I would love to give that to you.
One day. Maybe one day we will.
One day. Yeah.
So maybe we'll do 9/11 in one episode or something.
Oh my gosh. No, I'm going to do a month of 9/11 one of these
years. Oh yeah,
years.
That's right. Yeah.
The month of 9/11. I mean, there were 4 plane crashes, so.
Yeah.
One a week. But we'll but today it's Christmas.
Yes. It is. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, friends. Yes, this is a for once actually like a seasonal appropriate episode.
Yes, and, it is. All the way around.
Yes. Merry Christmas, friends.
Merry Christmas.
And we, for this Christmas episode, we are going to go back to December 24th, Christmas Eve. You get it. Same. Yeah. 1944. So, yes, 1944. World War II is still going strong. And we are, well, not going that strong. You know, Hitler's going to kill himself in like 5 months, but you get
right.
We're gonna go back and we're gonna talk briefly about the Civil Air Patrol. Have you ever heard of the Civil Air Patrol, CAP? Does this mean anything to you?
Have we covered it here before?
I don't think so. No, well, I hope not, because I feel like I never knew about it until today. So
it doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah. I am sure that some of you, maybe all of you, for all I know about this, and it's just evaded me and Mariah, but the Civil Air Patrol...
Kind of you. To was... include me in that.
I thought you said you didn't know what it was.
No, I did not. I did not.
Oh, okay.
I just mean, like, as if I would have the... Like, that would
it's
be
evaded
within
us.
My... Yeah.
It's evaded us. What can I say? So... The Civil Air Patrol. So in the 1930s, when aviation is like a brand new, extremely cool thing, like it's the 30s, yeah. Amelia Earhart is still alive. We got what's his face with the baby. So all this cool stuff is happening. It's the 30s. Yeah. And there was a guy in the U.S. who was like, you know, if we have a war again, there's like no reason not to have all of these like civil aircraft, right? People's personal planes, like planes owned by airlines that are just starting to appear. We should have like a system for like rolling them in and like letting them help with the war effort. And it made it kind of his baby that he wanted to like create this, the Civil Air Patrol, have some like organized system for utilizing civilians and civilian aircrafts in a war effort. And on December 1st, 1941, he got his wish and they said, okay, like we're going to give you 90 days to like organize this. And not, I mean, he's not starting from scratch, right? He's been working on this,
right.
But the US government said, you've got like 90 days to like basically show us what you can do, see if this is plausible. And then December 7th, 1941, 6 days later, Pearl Harbor. So they were like, okay, yeah, let's see what you got. Like back to that, you know, 90 days, you don't need the whole 90 days, do you? Like, let's see what you got. So this group, it was just civilian people with like their planes, like, people with their like personal aircraft can in some way get involved, you know, in the war effort. And again, people may or may not know that at the beginning of World War II, German U-boats, German submarines, like snaked their way across the Atlantic Ocean to the east coast of the U.S. and blew up boats sitting in harbors in America. Like they just blew up ships that were sitting there passenger, you know, ships that were for, you know, just normal civilian ships, military ships, whatever. They blew them up in our space, right? Mm. Which is about as close as the war ever got to mainland US, but right. still bad. And so the CAP, these like people with their personal planes who are not in the military, they're not part of the military, they would they ask permission, like, give us bombs and we'll just fly along the coast and we'll drop bombs out of our personal little planes onto German U-boats. And they did. They gave them bombs and they just dropped bombs on German U-boats who were sitting there waiting to blow up, like, just boats in New York Harbor or Boston Harbor or whatever. So all hands on deck. It's a world war, right? Like, it's World War II. Everybody's doing this. So this is the CAP. This is what they do. They actually started letting women be a full-fledged part of the CAP very early on, like exponentially, like, you know, literally, what, 50 years before the military let women join.
Right.
They had a cadet program from pretty early on where 15 to 18-year-olds were allowed to, like, basically, like, join up. Get like trained to fly. They did rescue missions. They did other stuff, but it's all civilian. They're not part of the military. They're not using military aircraft. It's just like your neighbor Joe's plane.
Right.
And then sometimes the military gives you bombs and you fly along the coast and you drop them on Nazis. So like, that's what they are. That's the CAP. Okay. By 1942, women are allowed to be in the CAP. They're also allowed to be cadets. So 15-year-old women not getting a lot of respect in general in 1942. But if they want to drop bombs on Nazis out of like little planes, I guess they can do it as long as they're within a couple miles of the coast. So we've got little Eleanor Kramer, little Ellie Kramer. And in 1942, she is 17 or 16, depending on when her birthday is. I don't know. So she is 16 or 17. And she's like, I want to drop bombs on Nazis. I want to fly planes. This is for me. This is what I want.
Yeah.
She was from Montana, but she went to visit an aunt and uncle in Michigan. And when she got there, they were like, hey, why don't you stay here? Like, isn't it nice here? Do you want to stay with us? That's as much detail as I have. They were like, do you want to stay with us? And she said, yes. So I guess she just wanted to see new things. Ellie's an adventurous girl. Like, we love Ellie. Yeah. Ellie finds out that Don, the neighbor at her aunt and uncle's house, the neighbor owns a plane and is a CAP trainer pilot. And she's like, this is it, Don. I want to do this. I want to fly. Will you teach me how to fly? Like, I want to join the CAP. Will you teach me how to fly this plane that you own and teach people how to fly on? Right. And Don was like, yeah, like, we got Nazis to kill. Let's go, girl.
All right.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. So he starts to teach her how to fly. And this is all in Ypsilanti. And Ypsilanti, that if anyone knows, the only reason I was even familiar with this town in the first place is because it's spelled in such a implausible way. So Ypsilanti, right. Michigan, there's the little Willow Run airfields there, this like little airport. And she's going out regularly with Don and learning how to fly. Oh. And yeah, amazing, right? Amazing. And by Christmas Eve of 1944, Ellie has almost completed all of her training.
Wow.
She is almost ready to be licensed to fly in the U.S. alone, right? She's right there. She's got one lesson left. She's 18 now, so she's old enough to get the license. It's time. So it's Christmas Eve, and maybe not everybody would like lessons in general on that day. Right. But Ellie loves flying, and Ellie wants to drop bombs on Nazis. So, like, Don, please, please, please. Like, sir, I have one lesson left. I have one lesson left. Can we just do it today? Like, she's like raring to go. Yeah. And Don is like, you know what? Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. Let's do it. It's like early in the day. Christmas Eve is kind of like a nighttime holiday, right? Right. So it's still early in the day. And he tells her like, okay, but today you got to wear a parachute. We both have to wear parachutes today because part of the final training, like one of the things that you have to have shown competency in is recovering from a tailspin. And it's required that you wear a parachute when you know you're going to be practicing a tailspin. So Ellie is tall. I don't know exactly how tall, but planes were kind of small back then. So she puts on the parachute, and with the parachute on, her head like presses against the top, like the ceiling of the plane.
Yeah.
But who cares, baby? Because like, Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday, Jesus. I want to fly and get my license.
Yeah.
And drop bombs on Nazis. So they go down to Willow Run Airport, and he's got this. Don's plane is like a little single engine, little propeller in the front, like right on the nose, yellow. I wrote it down. Yellow plane. And that sweet little yellow plane, they hop in one behind the other and take off. Meanwhile, a DC-3 is flying from New York City to Chicago. And they have just stopped in Detroit for refueling. There are 18 people on this plane, two pilots, one flight attendant, 15 passengers. Most all of the passengers are our servicemen who are like going home for Christmas, because it's, you know, that's a kind of leave people get, right? For their, you know, to get to go home for Christmas and see their families. So, you know, people are excited to see their families. Captain Victor is from Rochester, New York.
All right, baby.
Yes. Local hometown hero.
We love
Captain Victor. Captain Victor. Yes. And his brother, Edgar. Edgar is not on this plane, but it's just incidentally, they are both pilots for American Airlines.
Wow.
And they are Captain Victor. He was the youngest full stop training pilot ever licensed as a training pilot by the U.S. government, like during this time. Yeah. So he became a pilot in the first place in 1936, which again,
oof.
It's wild, right? Like, it's just, yeah.
That's crazy.
He became a pilot first in 1936, went to work for American Airlines pretty much right away, became an instructor and a captain, and now he is in his early 20s.
Beautiful.
And he is flying these servicemen home for Christmas, and he's got a little 2-year-old kid at home. That hasn't everything to do with the story. It's just sweet.
He's loving his life.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
We love his life from Rochester.
Yeah.
Hometown boy from Rochester. So Richard is the first officer, and Richard is going to be flying this route from Detroit refueling toward, you know, to keep going onward to Chicago. And we've got Mare Bear. Mary is the flight attendant on this flight. Okay. So 18 souls on board, refueled in Detroit, taken off for Chicago, baby. And Richard is flying. So they take off from Detroit, Michigan, for anyone who doesn't know. And Richard is flying. They take off at 11:30-ish in the morning. As they're flying away from the airport toward Chicago, they actually pass beneath them, fly overhead, Willow Run Airport. Look, cute little Willow Run Airport. Little baby planes in Ypsilanti. Captain Victor is just going through, and he's making his like routine logs. So obviously pilots very much still have logs they have to complete, but at this time there would be even more logs to complete. Right, they're keeping track of everything, so right. There he's working on, you know, the log book, filling it out, and Richard is switching, so they're far enough away from the Detroit airport now where they're switching radio frequencies. So Richard leans forward while he's turning the dial to switch radio frequencies. And when he leans forward, he can see up higher, right? So he's leaned into the windshield and he can see up above him further than he could when he was sitting back.
Mm-hmm.
And he can see a little yellow plane coming right at them.
Oh.
And he sees it and he immediately like shoves the left wing down because it looks like it's coming toward the left side. And he pushes it down and bam. The landing gear and the tail of that little yellow plane slam into the left wing of the DC-3. So it slams into the wing all the way down on the left wing, all the way down past the engines. And it just crumples the wing. Oh. It doesn't snap it off. It just crumples it.
Yeah.
But the engine isn't hit. So when it crumples the wing, and he already pushed that wing down trying to dodge the yellow plane with Ellie and Don on it. And so when he pushed it down and then it crumpled the wing, when it did hit, it made because it crumpled, it made the wind resistance obviously more intense on that side. Victor took over flying immediately, right? He's the captain. He's got control. But the wind resistance is pulling that left wing down more and more and more and more. Mary was just serving lunch. No joke. She was just serving lunch. Now it feels like we're going to tip over. And she's telling everybody buckle, she's going down, making sure that everybody is safe, buckled, telling them instructions. She's on it. She's doing her job. As the plane wants to flip over, it wants to spin because there's so much more wind resistance on that left side at the very end of the wing. So Don and Victor they're just not going to do it. They're not going to die. That's not what they're going to do. That's not what they came here to do. That's not why all these servicemen came back from wherever they were fighting to visit their families on Christmas Eve. Nope. And so he's not going to let the plane flip over. So what they do is they put the left wing on full blast, the engine on the left wing, full blast, right wing idle. And so the differential thrust pulls that left wing up and allows them to level it. But that's now not enough power to keep the plane in the air, right? The plane is also damaged and they don't have enough thrust from the engines because one of the engines is idling to actually keep the plane up in the air. So they're sinking down, but they're level. And so Victor and Richard are searching the ground below them. They find a field, a big snowy field. Michigan gets a lot of snow. And they see this big snowy field and they're okay, that's it. That's going to be it. That's where we're landing. And they decide that they're not going to put the gear down because the gear will just get stuck in the snow. They don't have any way of knowing how deep the snow is from where they are, right? They have no clue. They have no way of knowing even possibly. It could be a dusting or it could be 7 feet. They don't know. So they keep the gear up in their belly and they put the flaps, give themselves full flaps so they can go long. They have lots of gliding power. They're not going to stall out. And they glide down and they hit that snow on their belly and they just sled to a stop.
Oh my gosh.
And they're fine. Everybody on board the DC-3 is fine.
Mm. Thank God.
Our little yellow plane.
Yeah.
Ellie and Don flying along. They have actually already finished everything they came there to do. Ellie had successfully recovered from a tailspin. They're done. They're getting ready to go back to Willow Run Airport. They never saw the DC-3. They never saw it. They just feel bam. And the tail actually of their plane got ripped off completely. No tail to their plane anymore, right? It just, boom, gone, caught fire, plane's on fire. Good thing they're wearing parachutes.
Oh my God, they're I forgot about the parachutes.
The parachutes! Ugh. The parachutes. They are at 1,200 feet right now. And Don knows what to do.
Yeah.
Ellie, God bless her, 18 years old, just wants to kill Nazis. She looks at him and he says, like, okay, climb out on the strut, jump out, count to 10, pull the cord. And he thinks, like, oh, like, is she, I don't know if she's going to do it. Like, this is a really sudden and very scary situation. So, like, it would be reasonable if she froze in fear, right? Nope. Nope. Ellie is terrified, but nope. And she climbs out onto the struts and jumps. She jumps and she counts 1, 7, 10 and pulls the cord, which is very dangerous. The 10 seconds is to make sure you're far enough away from the plane. And she knew she didn't count to 10. 1, 7, 10, 10 pulls the cord. The cord does not, the parachute whoops open. It does not get tangled up in the plane. Oh, the plane. Ooh, Don sees that she's good. He jumps off, pulls his cord, and they float down, and the plane actually comes around and crashes like right below them.
Ooh.
Right below them.
Oh no.
So the plane crashes way sooner than it takes them to land. And so they're just like sitting in, you know, the parachute swing set. I don't know what to call it, right? But it's in the, right? It's like that's what it looks like, right? Like you're on a swing set.
Yeah.
And they're just going down, and Ellie said that, like, it was so beautiful. And most of what, like, her thoughts were basically like, oh, wow, this is like just such a beautiful, quiet view, right? Because when you're on those little aircraft, she's seen this view a lot of times. She's one of the few people in the world who can fly a plane, right? She's been up here before,
right?
But it's silent. And you know, anybody who's lived in a snowy area, that kind of like very particular silence that only exists in like snow, when everything is snow covered and muffling all the sound.
Yeah.
And just, it's so silent and so beautiful. It's a beautiful day. It's Christmas Eve. And she's also thinking about how, like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't actually get, I don't know how to steer this parachute. Like, I didn't get any like real instruction on this. I don't know if I'm gonna like hit a tree or a power cord. So like there's like that conflicting thing in her head, like, wow, like,
right,
the beautiful, like, incredible beauty of nature, what an honor it is to behold it. And then like, oh my gosh, like looking at like the burning wreckage of the plane you were on like 15 seconds earlier below you. Don, as he's parachuting down, he can see the DC-3, right? He can see it, but he, again, they never saw it. He doesn't know. They don't know in this moment what's happened. And even though Don sees the DC-3, it actually doesn't click for him what happened, because it doesn't look distressed, because the DC-3 didn't catch on fire. Nothing happened to it, right? They hit where they hit it. It was on the far end. So he doesn't even, he like basically sees it out and just is like, cool, whatever. Like his brain is just like gathering data. But they made it off the plane. Everybody lives. Everybody lives. Everybody lives. The DC-3 lives. They repaired it.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
It just crumpled.
Beautiful. A plane, American Airlines actually immediately sent a plane so that they could take the servicemen like all the way home. Like actually get them all the way to Syracuse, to Chicago.
Beautiful.
Brain. But yeah, like get them all the way to Chicago. They,
it's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle
that they did not.
I've never in my life heard of a midair collision where anyone lived.
Literally.
Much less everybody lived.
Right.
Except for Don's little yellow plane.
Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know how it works exactly. If they like give him a new one. If the
I was
going to
say,
will, like,
did she go on dropping bombs on Nazis with someone else's plane?
So, little Ellie, she's not going to let this stop her. She's not going to let this stop her, right? This is a very scary incident. She celebrates Christmas with her family December 26th. She is back in it, right?
All
right. December 26th, December 26th, she gets into someone else's plane. I don't know. And she is like ready. She goes down the runway, which is covered in snow. And maybe you remember from the Manchester United crash that people really did not yet understand that, like, if there's snow on the runway, it's actually quite a big problem. Like, that just wasn't understood as well. She goes down the runway. The wheels get stuck in the snow and the plane just like bonks. It's like bonks forward, like nose down into the ground. Ugh. And like the propeller breaks off. She's not injured. But then our girl Ellie was like, okay, you know what?
maybe not.
It's 1944.
Yeah.
Germany, they don't have enough money. They're not even sending you boats anymore. Like,
we tried.
We tried. We did our best. And she took up, this is no joke, downhill skiing. No joke.
Amazing.
Like, she became like an avid downhill skier.
That's wonderful.
So
I'm very happy for her.
I am too. Oh, God bless her.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
God bless her. Oh,
wow.
She just...
What a story.
I'm just imagining her, like, up, like, with the nose, like, the propeller, like, stuck into the runway and, like, the tail up in the air, just, like, sitting and just being like, okay.
Right.
I need to take a hint.
Truly, like, though. Truly.
I love her.
That's
Don
amazing.
Kept doing his thing.
Yeah.
Everybody else kept going. Everybody else just kept on.
That's what we love to hear. That is what we love to hear.
We do. It's and like, everybody
what
lived.
A cool story to tell on Christmas, you know? Like, I survived.
Can you imagine?
Like, I had to jump out of a free falling plane to
Can you imagine
save
if like
life?
Ellie was your grandma?
Right.
Or
yeah,
anyone,
literally, yeah.
Your friend? Like right. just
very cool.
Imagine this person existing, which she did. She's a real person, right? Like, and all of them. I mean, gosh, like, Victor just kept his head on straight because, like, that plane could have just spun, right?
Yeah.
Like, so easily. So easily.
Oh, my gosh.
Just.
Oof.
That is American Airlines Flight 21.
Beautiful.
Plus Ellie and Don's. Yellow adventure. Little,
yeah.
I don't know what to call it. But yeah.
Little yellow plane. Wow.
Little yellow plane.
That's a great Christmas story.
It's such a good story. And again, if there are other mid-air collisions where everyone's fine, you need to tell me. Because I've never heard of such a thing that a mid-air collision
ends
with
right.
no fatalities.
Right.
Yeah.
We should write a children's book about this story.
Yes.
A Christmas children's book.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Somebody.
We're going to do that.
Shaney is like a great illustrator for children's books.
Yes. Okay.
Shaney. Who,
she will do the illustrations.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's as far as we got in the plan.
Okay. Well, and history will write the story.
Exactly. We're on the same page.
Yes. Yes.
And Douglas was the guy. We were thinking of who flew to Ireland.
Douglas.
Corrigan.
Okay. Corrigan. Yes. Oh, Douglas. But yeah, when I was looking it up, I found an article from Ypsilanti, right? From the Michigan local paper, where somebody at that local paper basically, like, there was obviously an article about it at the time in the local paper, and they've got their like microfiche or their like whatever they're called when they have all of their archived articles. Somebody was going through all of their archived articles, found this one, looked to see if Ellie was still alive. She was actually alive until I think 2017.
Holy cow.
So yeah, she lived like a long, full, wonderful life.
Beautiful.
She, oh right, yeah, wonderful, had grandkids, like she's just had children, obviously, but also grandkids.
But straight to grandkids.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would prefer that.
Was an adventurous woman.
Yeah.
She just went straight to grandkids. No. but she, so I found that article and it took me so long to find anything else. And, but when I was looking, I searched for the captain's name from that article.
Yeah.
And I was getting Democrat and Chronicle articles. And I was like, Democrat and Chronicle, that's the Rochester news. Right. And I thought it was just like because of my location. And it was like, there's somebody who like vaguely matches that, you know, name.
Yeah.
And then I realized like I actually clicked on it and it's a picture of a pilot from like clearly from the 40s.
You're
and it's
still like no,
local,
this is a coincidence.
Right? And then it's like local hero. Successfully
not
crash
him.
Lands DC-3, right? Like, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And it kept like, so Ypsilanti, the Ypsilanti newspaper says it happened in Ypsilanti, but everybody else says it happened in Saline, Michigan.
Okay.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Saline's local paper did not write an article about it. So,
yeah, we're setting the record
Ypsilanti.
Straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
But yeah. It was fun. I like reading like the old articles.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. We got for Christmas, we got my grandparents a New York Times book that goes it like shows the front page of you can choose any date, but we chose their anniversary date. So it shows the New York Times front page on that date each year.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's very cool.
That's
it's
really
a very cool gift.
And
we were reading through it and it's pretty crazy how like old articles were written and just some of the just like I don't know the things that were important are just interesting
for sure. My dear, I don't know if she's gonna listen to this, but because my dear sweet mother, her birthday is the day that we landed on the moon.
Oh, yes.
And so that would be like, it'd be cool for every day of her birthday, but also the day that we landed on the moon. That's
going
to be a particularly cool page.
Yes,
you know?
Definitely.
Like, that's cool. Like,
exactly.
They did it for her.
Yeah,
her
they
sweet
did.
Little, sweet
that was
little,
her birthday. Was
yeah,
a birthday gift.
Happy birthday, little Karen Ann. This is for you.
Yes,
one,
it is.
One small step for a man. All for little Karen Ann.
Yes. That's what they said.
That's what they actually said. Yeah. It was all propaganda.
Beautiful.
To change it to something else. But yes. That's a great gift.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It was good. I was happy with that find this year. It's always tough buying for parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah. It is.
But.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the problem that you have, but like, you know, like my grandma just has, she has the things that she wants, right? Like she doesn't have a huge home. Like she has what she wants.
Yep.
You know, there's like that aspect of it. My dad wants so many things, but they're all so expensive. My dad, like hope like friends darlings, you know, like a Jack Johnson autograph would be the thing that my dad would want, I think, probably more than anything.
Jack Johnson,
the first black heavyweight champ.
Oh, yes.
Who I think that I still think I
not the
so
artist.
There's Joe Jackson was like Shoeless Joe Jackson on like the White Sox that all got kicked out because they cheated.
Oh, yes.
And then
yes.
Jack Johnson. It is very confusing. But Jack Johnson was but Jack Johnson, I still think that Ty should make a movie about Jack
I think
Johnson.
So too, yeah. Sorry, my little emo heart, every time I hear Jack Johnson, I think of the artist Jack Johnson.
Who is that?
You know, oh God. No, of course I'm gonna blank on a song. You know Jack Johnson.
I do?
Yeah. 100%.
Okay, hold on. Someone out there is like, no, Mariah, he's a boxer from like 1911.
Yes.
And someone else is like,
agreed.
how dare you all ignore like the contributions of Jack Johnson to music. It is. I'm looking at the years on these and I'm thinking this would have been the years that I would have definitely been in the market for this music.
Exactly. I mean, I haven't listened to Jack Johnson in 15 years or whatever. Like,
I think, I mean.
So that's why it's like plausible that your dad would want his autograph too, because it's like, you know, it's like our teenage music. So like he could have liked it too. But then my dad likes folk, so this is
totally plausible.
Right.
But it's also much more plausible that I could afford this man's autograph. Whereas Jack Johnson has been dead a long time and his autograph is very expensive.
Yeah.
So yeah. I definitely think that I don't know, guys. Let's talk about sports. Forget planes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about sports.
Go Bills.
Or music.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Yeah. Go Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, sweet baby Josh Allen.
Oh.
What a sweetheart. Baby angel. What a sweetheart.
He got a touchdown. He ran for a touchdown.
He did. He did like a cool somersault flip.
Exactly. Against, you know, the Jets, who, you know.
Yeah. I forgot it was the Jets.
It's a condition. Sorry. I have. Sorry. That no, it's fine.
The
no,
one
it's fine
week we
Jets
bring
aren't...
up the Bills, they play the Jets.
No, but the Jets are not going to and do not deserve to get to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like they don't deserve it. They're jerks.
Yeah.
They're my team.
Right.
But they don't deserve it. Yeah. And the Buffalo does. Buffalo deserves.
Josh Allen is just a Buffalo guy. He's just a Buffalo. He's just like a small town, but not small town. You know what I mean? Like, just small, medium town.
But Buffalo is like a big, small town. 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like you have some mutual friends with like everyone in the city.
Exactly.
Like,
but like you don't, there's no way, like you could go to the store and not recognize anybody all the time.
Yes. But not every time.
Not every time. No, definitely not every
like,
time.
You got to be prepared.
But you can be consistent.
At some point you're going to like, it's going to happen. Like if you like the first night I was here, or the second night I was here or something, I ran into someone I knew at the grocery store.
Oh, my God.
And it's happened like several more times. It's.
See, but you're nicer than I am because you talk to people. I just pretend I just keep walking sometimes.
Okay. Friends, this Brian, I went to Target and he said exactly that. He was just like, I'm afraid that we're gonna see someone that we know, and you, meaning me, are gonna like walk right up to them and like greet them and say hi to them and stuff. Cause that's, I don't know, I do always do that. If I see someone I know, no matter how distant, I don't know, I know you. Hi, like even if I don't want to hang out with anybody or talk to anybody, I don't know. I don't know how not to.
It's fair.
So I'm so sorry.
No. I'm so sorry. See, this is the thing. We need people like you in our lives because we won't do it. So this skill comes in handy quite often.
But I think people don't really want.
No, I think people feel better afterwards because they don't want. Yeah, they don't want to do it. And you just. Yeah, it just breaks it. Even if they don't want to talk to you, it's like, okay, well. That was
at least it happened
better.
Now.
Yeah, and it's happened. I don't have to worry about running into them later.
Yeah.
You know, because that sucks when that happens, when you're evading somebody and they you see them later on, like an hour later. You're like, fuck, you know,
in the same store.
Yeah, it's terrible because then you have to say hi. You're like, yeah, two times is.
See, that's the other thing. I can't see that well. So like. I'm never evading you in the store, friends. I promise you, it's never happened. I've never been trying not to run into somebody.
Yeah.
I might just not see you. If we haven't talked yet, it's not awkward because I haven't seen you.
Right.
So don't feel bad. Like you don't feel bad. It's fine. I always forget that other people can see so well. But yeah. But UCCP, the Communist Party, you know, how's that going?
How is
it's got to end. Happy Christmas. Merriest of Christmas. Happiest of New Year's.
Christmas.
Merry Happy Christmas. I have our poor deer brains.
A Christmas fact about reindeers.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Fact. I'm so sorry. Every week. Every week.
No, no. No, not every week. The blessed Farmer's Almanac putting out articles for people to read about Santa's reindeer. And in June of 2022, the title of this article is Why Santa's Reindeer Are Female.
What? I feel like I did not understand. I'm so sorry.
The Farmer's Almanac?
Farmers? No, I didn't hear what you said, Mariah. You need to start over. I'm so sorry. I'm a professional listener, and somehow
I may have made no sense. Okay.
I'm gonna listen to this when I'm editing it.
No,
and be
I
like,
could have made no sense
Casey.
At all.
My brain lost it.
We're gonna
Santa's
start
reindeer.
Yes. Okay. God bless the Farmer's Almanac. Do you know what the Farmer's Almanac
yes.
is? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. God bless them, right?
God bless them. It started by what's his face, right? Ben Franklin? It's his baby, maybe?
I think
maybe
so, yes. Or is it Franklin or is it Thomas Jefferson?
Maybe. Maybe. Mm, who can say?
Who can say? That's another fact for another day. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was on Farmer's Almanac for another reason. Like, I was looking up a weather thing, and this article popped up that is titled Why Santa's Reindeer Are Female. And I was like, I wonder why the Farmer's Almanac is writing this extremely feminist article for all of us to read. Mm-hmm. Not only it was also posted in the middle of summer, so I just appreciate their care for all of our souls while we're all dying of heat that we still want to think about Christmas in the middle of summer. So this is checking all my boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out it's just an article of reindeer trivia and fun facts.
Wonderful.
It's just a bingo. So these are five fun facts about reindeer and why Santa's reindeer are female. And I highly recommend you go find this article because it is the cutest thing I've ever read in my entire life. I'm not going to read you all of the descriptions of each fact, but you can get the idea. So reindeer love cold places, as we know. Reindeer can see in the dark, which is cool. I did not know. This was actually the fact that I was going to lead in with, and then I was just like, you know what, let's do the whole thing. But the one of the main reasons is that people think that Santa's reindeer are in fact female is because they still have antlers on in most of the depictions of them. And so that is fact number three, that most male and female reindeer have antlers, but that the males lose them before Christmas, the females have them during Christmas.
That's very interesting.
Yes. Fact number four, reindeer have long distance stamina and speed. Fact number five, in bitterly cold, the foot pads on the reindeer's hooves shrink and tighten, exposing the rims of its hooves. And those are the Farmer's Almanac's five facts about reindeer.
And so, then, like, their feet, like, shoop into their hooves?
Yeah.
That's very
so that
smart.
It, like, can grasp the ice and snow.
Aw. Well, guys.
Yeah. Very cute.
I love that. I love those facts.
Yeah.
Aw.
And seriously, reindeer. It's a very cute article, so go read it. Why
yes.
Santa's reindeer are female.
I really like the look of reindeer. I think that I really like how like fuzzy they are. They've got like woolly mammoth fur or whatever in a way that I like.
Yeah.
And velvety antlers. I like that.
I mean, as I learned, they are related to the caribou. So
somebody when I was like five,
yeah,
I was at probably Marineland, honestly, to bring that back.
Yes.
And somebody was talking about how like caribou and reindeer are like indistinguishable or like virtually the same genetically or something. And so one of them was like endangered and somebody was like, just, we got plenty of the other one though. And they just like tossed the other one into like the, but this is, I was like five and someone said this and it stuck in my brain. And I don't know.
Marineland's just crossbreeding deer. Like,
it's something, I don't know if it's like they're all from, okay. So when we were in Sweden, something that like blew my mind, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, when we were in Sweden, we're driving, we were in like the like northern part of Sweden and it's like all forest and all of that. And there were moose, just regular moose that looked exactly like the moose I've seen.
Yeah.
Anywhere else I've ever seen moose.
Right.
And I was baffled by it because I was like, we are very far away
from
Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah. How? And it's because it's because at the top, it all comes together. Right. That is it, you know? And so I wonder if like, if that didn't make sense to anybody, the earth is round like a ball. And so all of the cold creatures up at the top can, like how there's polar bears in Russia and Canada, you know, like it's at the top, it's all together.
Yeah.
And when it is frozen, everybody can like walk across the ice and stuff. So I guess maybe caribou and reindeer used to be one kind of animal and then they both got like they got separated.
Right.
And
yeah, because reindeer I think are shorter than caribou.
Okay.
I think that's the only
very believable
difference, but only by like
half
a foot, maybe 6 inches, something like that.
Yeah, so you wouldn't necessarily, I mean someone would know, an expert would know, but like I wouldn't know.
No, obviously. For sure, definitely not.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I also just like, why do we have any reindeer here at all? Like,
why don't we have any?
No, why do we? Like, why do zoos have reindeer here? Like, they need to go up north.
And let them just like be.
Yeah.
Like, leave them alone.
They have like a real thick coat for a reason. Like, let them go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're sweating down here.
Like, yeah. That's what I think every time I see like a husky.
Yeah. Yeah.
In like August. And I'm like, oh, this doggo.
Yeah. Nah.
But yeah. Same with the polar bear. I mean, the polar bear is at the Buffalo Zoo.
I know. Every time there's a storm. Winter. I know. Every time there's a storm, I'm like, thank God. At least the polar bears can be happy for a little bit. Poor guys.
Right. I know.
I know it's different.
But that, I mean, I don't know. Most. We have is it juncos, like the bird that is it juncos that come down, like they live in Alaska and then they fly south for the winter but they fly south to like Buffalo,
right? Yes.
So like we're there south.
Yes.
And and we've got juncos out on our back porch up here.
Yes.
And they're so I don't know if they like, I don't know if it's like they come from like an area that's like less populated, like if in the summer if they live in a more rural area, I don't know, but we like threw like almonds and suet down for them and they're so suspicious of it. Like they want to try it but they like
side eye
very
you.
They are, yeah. And one of them, I watched him like peck like a little bite of suet and then immediately fly up into the tree and just like wipe his beak off like furiously on the wood of the tree, like on the branch, just like, ugh, like what is this?
Yeah.
But I think that he'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I think he'll figure it out because it's delicious fat or whatever
right.
that they love. So
right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, New York animals, they're used to being fed and want all the food.
Yeah.
I feel like
in
Buffalo, in your neighborhood, it's probably not as common.
That's exactly what Bri said. Bri's like, it's going to take time to like win their trust.
Yeah.
But we will.
Yes. I mean, yes. One day at a time.
There's only one squirrel that we've seen, and he is it's a boy. He is like the chonkiest chonk you've ever seen. And he has really small ears for his body. Oh. So he's just little small ears. He's so darling. Aww. He's so chonk.
Yes. It's wintertime, baby. 7 feet of snow on the ground, potentially.
Exactly. 7 feet. It'll happen. But all right. I don't know.
I love you,
Mariah. I love you so much. You told me, you know, 3 hours ago, you said, my brain is fried. Let's do it. And it was like, okie dokie.
I feel
the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're good.
We love you guys so much.
Yeah, we do.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I hope it's a great Christmas. Hope you're having a nice time doing whatever you want to do today.
Yes. And if Christmas is not your holiday and you have a different holiday, enjoy it. And if you don't have a holiday this time of year until New Year's, then have a great day.
Yeah.
Just a regular great day.
And happy Boxing Day.
Is Boxing Day just reverse Black Friday?
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know. Sorry.
Know. No, it's okay.
Maybe I'll do a fact about Boxing Day next time.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'll write
it down.
Because
I feel like there's I don't know.
Because who knows what Boxing Day is?
Canadians have always told me that it's just it's Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, when you return stuff that you don't like to the store,
exactly,
and there's sales.
Right.
So is it just Black Friday, but reverse?
But I think it has a
background.
It's like an English holiday, isn't it?
Probably. Right. Well, how we say on Good Friday, multiple people have said Happy Black Friday to me on Good Friday. Which is so sweet and well-intentioned.
Happy Black Friday.
Happy Black Friday. Because because happy Good Friday.
Right.
Also, what a sweet, so sweet.
So
you
sweet.
Know, just like, but happy just Black Friday.
Beautiful.
It's fine. I love you.
I love you.
I love you so much. You're the best.
You are.
We love you guys. You're the best.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Pod Crashed. We so hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get in touch with us for any reason, you can find us on Instagram, TikTok, or you can email us at thepodcrashed@gmail.com. This was such a tough episode to edit because we were both just in a state when we recorded it. So we hope you enjoyed it. Hope that you're all staying warm, safe, and happy. And I guess that those of you who live in the Southern Hemisphere are staying cool and comfortable. All right. Merry Christmas.